Let's pray together. Lord God, will you open our eyes today to who we are in you and to all you have provided? Will you show us how we can live from you and not for you? Will you minister to those here today who may have an obstacle in their relationship with you because of their relationship with their father? Reveal yourself to who you really are now, Lord. God, Father, Amen. I'd like you to imagine that you live in a country ruled by an oppressive king. He trusts nobody with anything. You're 10 years old, and you live on a farm with your parents in the country. It's a peaceful existence until one night when you hear a bunch of military vehicles driving onto your land. You hear a loud knock on the door. Your father goes to the door, opens the door, and soldiers burst in. They immediately arrest your father and your mother and put them onto a truck. And they take you and put you onto another truck with a whole bunch of other children. You wonder if you'll ever see your parents again. You're taken to an old hospital that is now an orphanage of sorts, and you settle into life on the wards, trying to carve out an existence. Years go by. Bitterness and anger begin to grow in you. You're now 15 and quite sure that you'll never see your parents again. You wish that you could be part of a family again, like you once had, out in the country where things were peaceful. One day, news comes that the evil king has been overthrown. And for a few days, there is chaos in the land until news comes that there is a new ruler. He is wealthy and the kindest man in the land. Soon, a representative from the government comes to visit the orphanage. Everyone's asking about their parents. And the representative of the government sadly informs the children there that all parents were killed. A collective depression settles in on the orphanage for several days until news comes that this new king is going to come and visit the orphanage. The day that he arrives, you've had a bad day. In fact, you had a fight with another teenager, and a black eye is developing. News begins to spread throughout the orphanage that not only has the new ruler come to visit, he wants to adopt several children from the orphanage. You conclude he could never pick me. Especially with this fight I've had today, he's going to think that I'm some sort of a bad kid. He comes onto your ward. All the outgoing kids go out to meet him. He spends time with them and then notices you in the corner, sitting on your bed. He comes over to you and says, "Hello. That's quite a shiner you've got growing there." Rats, he noticed. You're too scared to say anything, so you say nothing, and he just moves on. You're convinced you've blown it. The next day, a buzz takes hold of the orphanage as news comes that children have been selected, and the list is posted down in the cafeteria. And so you rush down there, and there's a huge crowd of kids gathered around this list. You don't want to look, but you have to look. And so you wait till the crowd clears a little bit, and then get to the front where you begin reading the first page and your name is nowhere to be found. Second page, you read down the first column, nothing. Second column, almost running out. Your finger stops at the second last name. That's your name. Is this a mistake? You look around, but it's no mistake. Your name is there. And at the bottom of the list, there's instructions. All children named, please gather your things and be ready for pickup after breakfast tomorrow. You say your goodbyes, gather your things, and stand outside when a beautiful bus drives up. And out comes a representative of this new ruler, and he begins to read off names, and you stand there nervously wondering, is your name really going to be called? And the second last name, again, is yours. The representative smiles and gives you your seat assignment. You go onto the bus and enjoy a breathtaking ride back out into the country. You couldn't remember. You forgot how beautiful it was. And then there is a collective gasp as the bus turns onto this ruler's estate. You marvel at the beautiful fields, the wonderful grounds, and the incredible mansion that will now be part of your life. Each child is ushered off the bus and into a new room, and you go into your room and cannot believe its beauty and all the things that are there for you to do. But before you can take them in, you realize there's a presence in the room. Someone's there, and you turn, and it's him. Hello, he says again. How's that shiner coming? Getting better, you say. You thank him for bringing you there and ask, what do you want me to do? I'm sure you need like more servants to keep the grounds. If I could just keep the grounds, I would do anything. He says, no. What I want you to do is not as important as who I want you to be. What do you mean, you ask? I want you to be part of my family. In fact, I'm ready to sign the adoption papers if you agree. And not only do I want you as a child, I have a wonderful inheritance that I'm going to share with you and all my other children. You're speechless. You couldn't have imagined something like this. He goes on, I will provide for you and be there for you. All I ask is that you embrace your status as my child and start living with all that I will provide for you. There are some tough assignments that I have for you, but I will be with you and strengthen you through each one of them. And when they're done, you will join me and we will live in this place forever. Will you become my child? He says to you. Now, that sounds like a far-fetched dream on the one hand. And I did ask you to imagine that you lived in a country ruled by an evil king. But on the other hand, if you're a Christian, this story is already true of you and of me. Our Heavenly Father adopted us. And we must adopt our new status as his children. And today we're going to step out of that story into the reality of relating to our adoptive father. Since our father adopted us, we must adopt our new status as his children. And when I make this statement, or those two statements, I use the word adoption in two different ways. The first use of the word, our father adopted us, refers to what an adoptive parent would do. To take one into one's family through legal means and bring up as one's own child. The second use of adopt means to take on or assume. So since our father adopted us, took us into his family as his own child, we must adopt, take on, assume our new status as his children. And we're going to explore what that looks like today. Last week, we saw the Apostle Paul declare, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And we saw him give reasons why there is now no condemnation. And one reason was that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. His indwelling presence proves we are in Christ and under no legal condemnation from God. And then we saw Paul call for a response to this gift of no condemnation. "For if you live according to the sinful nature or the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." And from that statement, Paul describes this other amazing revelation about what God has done and what God provides for his children. It comes together to further assure us Christians that we really are under no condemnation. And it also shows us the resources God provides for us to live the Christian life. And so today, I want you to see what our Father is like through his actions and provisions. And if you don't know our Father, my hope is you will see more clearly who he is. And then we will see how to adopt our status as his children. The text is Romans 8, verses 12 to 17. You can follow along on the insert in your bulletin, or you can follow along as I read and listen. And Paul writes, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons or daughters, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." What has our Father done? He adopted us. He gave us the spirit of adoption instead of the spirit of slavery. He brought us into his family as his children. And verse 15 tells us that, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons." So before we came to Christ, we had the spirit of slavery. We were owned by the cruel lord, sin. And in Roman society, the lords could do anything they wanted with the lowest of low slaves. Those slaves adopted a servile spirit. And the word servile means to be too obedient, too willing to agree with somebody, or to do anything, whatever, no matter how demeaning. Slaves adopted a servile spirit to survive. And they lived out in an existence of insecurity and terror. If the Lord woke up one day and was in a bad mood, he could have the slave whipped or sold or killed. And before we came to Christ, we were slaves to the terrible Lord sin. We've seen that throughout Romans. Sin was our master. Indwelling sin ruled over us. We were born into the slums, ruled by the taskmaster sin. And we lived with the insecurity, wondering, will my good works be good enough to overcome my bad works? Thinking somehow we could earn our way into God's favor. But when we come to Christ, we receive the spirit of sonship or adoption. We're given the children of privilege of becoming children of the good Father. And in Paul's world, adoption was for the wealthy who were childless. They needed someone to carry on the name, someone to give the inheritance to, so they would look for strong young men of good character through to whom they could pass on all that they owned. One commentator points out the twist Paul achieves in using the word adoption. In Paul's word, adoption was ordinarily of young males of good character to become heirs and maintain the family name. Paul, however, proclaims God's gracious adoption of persons of bad character to become heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. This adoption occurred the moment we received Christ. So many blessings poured into our lives at that time. We were justified or given right standing before God. We were regenerated, given a new moral nature, and we were adopted to become children of God, which happens when we receive Christ. And remember our Christmas series, Christmas According to John, and the light came into the world, and the world did not know him or recognize him or receive him. But John 1:12, but to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children born of God. When we receive Christ, we become God's adopted children. Now, I don't know what it's like to be an adopted child or an adoptive parent. Some of you do. Some of you have told me stories. But through my years of observing and talking and knowing people on both sides of the relationship, most of the time, it seems like something very special. I've read about the struggles some adopted children go through with respect to their biological parents. They wonder why they were given up. But there also seems to be this very special bond with parents who took them in to raise them as their own. And you, adoptive parents, have a much greater sense of what God must feel towards each and every one of his children. Sure, there are disappointments and challenges, but to make the decision to bring someone into your family from the outside is a tremendous act of love. And that's what God has done for each one of us. So adopted children of the Heavenly Father, rejoice today in the great act of love that God has shown to you. But his fatherly commitment to you did not end at the moment of adoption. He's provided many resources for us to live as his children. What has he provided? First of all, he provided the Holy Spirit to lead us as the children of God. He gave the Spirit of himself to show us the way. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons or children of God. And the word for connects it to the previous verse, verse 13. So in the NIV, it puts verses 13 and 14 together, saying, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So let's see if we can put this together. Christians are people who by the Holy Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the sinful nature. And when we partner with the Holy Spirit to do that, we are being led by the Spirit. And those led by the Spirit are the children of God. So our Father provided the Holy Spirit to lead us as children of God towards holiness. This was quite a discovery for me this week, as I've shared with some of you. One of my main aims and hopes for 2010 is to be more led by the Spirit, both personally and for us as a church to seek the Holy Spirit, to be more led by him. And what do we think about when we say, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me? We think, well, what's the next step in my life? What's the next step for the church? What's the next step for what we're going to do? And sure, the Holy Spirit does lead like that. For example, in Acts 16, we see the Holy Spirit getting directly involved in the missionaries' journey. He prevents the missionaries from going in one direction so he can direct them somewhere else. Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit would not allow them to. And then Paul has this vision, this dream of a man from Europe saying, come over and help us, and they go over to Europe instead of in Asia. So the Holy Spirit got directly involved there in leading those missionaries in the next step of their lives. But here in Romans 8, we see a different way the Spirit leads. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because those led by the Spirit are children of God. If you're growing in holiness, you're being led by the Spirit. But don't we often want the Spirit to actually not lead us, but just approve our plans? I'm going this way, and Holy Spirit, will you come along? We like to lead the Spirit, not be led by the Spirit. And here, a key aspect of the Spirit's leading is towards holiness. Our Father has provided Him to enable, to empower, to lead us into ever-increasing holy living. But our Father's provisions don't end with the Spirit's leading. Another provision is that through the Holy Spirit, we get God's personal cell number. God provides the Spirit by whom we pray, Abba, Father. God gives the Spirit for intimate connection with Him. Listen to verse 15 again, the end of it. You have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So again, the question comes, how does that Swedish rock group Abba keep getting into the Bible? Why do we have to pray to them and then pray to the Father? Well, Abba is actually the Aramaic name for dad or daddy. And Jesus and the disciples spoke Aramaic, the common language of the day. Aramaic kids called out to their dads, Abba, when they were hurting or in trouble. And because we're God's kids, by the Spirit, we can call out to Him, Abba. Dad, we need help. It's like God has given us His personal cell phone number. And you know how that works. If you're trying to reach someone at the office, you call the office number, you might get through. But if you have their personal cell, you're more than likely to get through. And hopefully all dads that are here today have given their kids a code or their personal cell number to get a hold of them for when they're in trouble. God's done that through the Spirit, giving us this term, Abba, Father, by which we can call Him. And this name is the same name Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane. In His moment of great agony, Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but You. Jesus spoke to God as a toddler, would first speak to His Father, Papa, Dada, help me. And friend, we need to call God's cell phone regularly. Use it. Cry out to it. He has an amazing capacity to have it handle 24 million cell phone calls a second and hear them all. So by the Holy Spirit, cry to your Papa, Father in heaven. But our Father's provision doesn't end there. He also provides the Spirit to testify in our spirits that we are God's children, the children of God. The Holy Spirit speaks the truth in our spirits about our child-parent relationship with our Father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, why would we need the Holy Spirit to testify in our spirit that we are God's children? One reason might be because Satan whispers in our spirit that we're not God's children. Or Satan accuses God in our spirit. Remember what Satan did with Eve? How he cast doubt on God's character? Did God really say that you couldn't eat of any tree in the garden? And we're going through a hard time. And Satan comes along and he whispers, what kind of a God would allow you to go through this? Some kind of father. Where is He now? And the Holy Spirit responds in our spirit, you are God's child. John Piper points out another possibility about why God provides the Spirit to testify in our spirits. He writes, the Spirit awakens our childlike affection for the Father. We don't infer logically the fatherhood of God from the testimony of the Spirit. We enjoy emotionally the fatherhood of God by the testimony of the Spirit. This testimony is not a premise from which we, okay, I conclude, God is my Father. No, it is a power by which we delight in our Father, God. After all, we were once enemies of God. We were once under his wrath. We might want to be like the prodigal son who just wanted to come home and slide into being a slave, not cry out to dad. And the Spirit says, no, you are his child. Cry out to your Father. And the last provision our Father gives in this passage is found in verse 17, where he made us heirs with Christ of an eternal inheritance. And I'm not going to spend time on this today because it leads into next week's message. But notice Paul draws out the conclusion. You're a child of God, therefore an heir with Christ. Just like Christ is the natural Son of God, you, the adopted children, also get the inheritance. And we'll see much more of this inheritance next week. So we've seen what our Father has done, adopted us. We've seen all that he's provided. Now, how do we adopt our status as his children? These are going to come quick if you're following along or writing down. Make use of these provisions and live by them. The first one is seek the leading of the Spirit of God. Seek the Spirit's leading in your business, your job, work, school, relationships, and your Christian life, becoming more and more holy. Follow him to that ever-increasing holiness. Secondly, embrace your identity as an adopted child of God. Do not let Satan tell you you're nothing. You're forgotten. You're hated. You are a child of God, our Father. Third, cry, Abba, Father, in your prayers. Cry out to your loving dad. Fourth, turn to the Holy Spirit's testimony for confirmation that you are God's child when Satan whispers, God's forgotten you. God is doubtful. God has neglected you. And receive the Spirit's testimony that you're God's child. Five, recognize you're a co-heir with Christ, looking towards an eternal inheritance, which means that we've got to spend much more time investing in our eternal inheritance than our temporary inheritance for the last few years of this life. That's important, but it's more important to invest in the eternal, loving God, loving people, living out the gospel. Next, share in Christ's sufferings in dependence on the Father's provision. That's the last half of verse 17. We are co-heirs with Christ if we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glory. And that's also part of next week's message. But sharing in the kinds of sufferings he experienced for being a Christian, for being Christ, for proclaiming the message of God is the types of sufferings he's talking about. And one final way to adopt our status as God's child is to consider our relationship with our fathers in a healthy context. Some of you here had or have a negative relationship with your father. Don't let that hinder your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Don't project onto the Heavenly Father whatever negative things happen with your earthly father. Our Heavenly Father is not absent, is not abusive, is not neglectful. So please, don't let that hinder your relationship with our Father God. And many of you had positive relationships with your fathers. Praise God for that. But we all know our earthly fathers were imperfect. Don't project that imperfection onto God either. Our Heavenly Father is perfect, has no flaws, no imperfections. And fathers, show your children a glimpse of God in you by passing on things like godly leading and treating each child as a special wanted member of your family, and be there for their crying moments and testify to them, you're my child, and they're an honor to have in your life. And show them the way of embracing Christ's sufferings to share in his future glory. And if God is not your father here today, an adoption can happen this morning. You don't have to go to court. God already has the papers ready, and it can happen by you calling out to God as your father through his son, Jesus. And so during our prayer time, if you want to do that, call out to the son. Put your trust in him, and the adoption papers will be signed. You'll be our father's child. We started today with a story of adoption in our imaginations. Now we see the reality of our adoption by our Heavenly Father. Let us come to Abba Father now to hear from him and pray to him. Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father. We come to you as a people in need of your fatherly love. Oh God, will you help us to see who you really are? To see that you are the Father who loves and embraces. You are the Father who cares and disciplines. You are the Father who tests and strengthens so we can grow. Lord, for those who are here today who do not understand what is happening in their lives right now and what you are doing as Father, will you comfort them or show them or give them the faith to carry on? And for those of us who maybe have been ignoring you as our Father and taking our hurts or our anger somewhere else, help us to come to you. And for those who don't know you, call them to yourself, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for adopting us as your kids. We pray. Amen.